Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you are our honored guest. We want you to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. It's always good to see our members. Lord willing, Carly and the girls will be back with us tonight. As I said, they're in Bible class. They're at Dripping Springs this morning. They had a youth event this weekend. We've been over there all weekend. I believe there were 250 young people. And so it was certainly an encouraging time to see so many young people interested in learning about God and learning more about His Word. It's such an awesome thing to be a part of. And so they're there this morning. Today's the last session, and Lord willing, they'll be back with us this evening. Well, this morning, as we turn our attention to God's Word, we're going to be talking about a very important subject. And as we think about this subject together this morning, I want to begin by stating that when we look at God's Word, we see that there are three divinely institutions ordained by God that we read about in the Scriptures. We see that God, number one, ordained the government. In Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, Paul says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God." The second divinely institution that we read about in Scripture is the church. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And then the third divinely institution that we read about from the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, is the home. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This morning we're going to be talking about this last institution that is so, so important, the home. And as we think about the home, we need to understand that God is the architect of the home. We see that in Genesis 2, verse 24. He is the one that ordained the home. We could say that Jesus Christ is the foundation to the home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, I realize 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is speaking of our redemption, but the principles that we see there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and throughout God's Word for that matter certainly apply to Jesus Christ being the home, being a part of the foundation of that home. You see, we want to build our homes upon that solid rock of the deity of Jesus Christ that the Apostle Peter confessed in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when Peter says, "I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then we need to view the Word of God as the blueprint to the home. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God, according to His divine power, has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through a knowledge of God's Word. I love what Peter reveals about the Word of God in that verse, because everything that we need to know pertaining to life and godliness can be found right here in God's Word. And the home that we're talking about this morning pertains to life and godliness. Think about it like this. When we look at God's Word gives us all of the necessary ingredients to having a godly home. Not just any kind of home, but a godly home. A godly home that brings honor and glory to God. A godly home that is full of peace and happiness. And I'm here to tell you this morning that's not going to happen by accident. You see, if we're going to have a godly home, we need to realize the starting place. The starting place for creating a godly home is to acknowledge that God's Word is the final authority. But what does that mean? What does it mean when we say that God's Word has the final authority in my home? God has the final say. That's what it means. God has the final authority. God has the final say. I must understand that if I am going to have a godly home. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, being guided by the Holy Spirit, says, "For whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." Do all by the authority of God Almighty. And so I have to remember that God is the architect of the home, and Jesus Christ is that solid rock, that foundation of the home. And I have to remember that God's Word is the blueprint. God's Word is my authority. God's Word has the final say. For example, you could take any subject on the home, but take, for example, parenting. When it comes to parenting, we cannot simply do what comes naturally. When we do that, we're going to make mistakes. When we do that, we will find ourselves doing things contrary to God's Word. And I'm convinced that the passages that I'm about to share with you, you know these passages. You've heard these passages. But let's take these passages and let's apply them to the home. The first is found in Isaiah chapter 55. You may want to jot these down. In Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse number 8, God says to His people, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's so important to allow those verses to speak to us if we want to have a godly home. And that's why it's so important to turn to that blueprint, God's Word, that final authority, because the Word of God reveals the very mind of God. I know what God is thinking, because God has given me His Word. Listen, when it comes to having a godly home, I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. In order to have a godly home, we need God's guidance, God's instruction. Remember Jeremiah 10 verse 23, "It's not in man that walketh direct his own steps." So many times we find that going on in the home. We're doing our own thing. We're trying to direct our own steps. If we're going to have a successful home, a godly home, a home that provides that joy and happiness that brings glory and honor to God, I need to realize that I can't do it on my own. I need God's help. I need God's instruction. I need God's counsel and God's guidance. What is going on in our world today, in the home particularly, is seen in Judges chapter 17, verse number 6. Every man is doing what is right in their own eyes. Every person is doing what is right in their own eyes. Do you realize that God in His Word reminds us or warns us about being guided by our emotions? Yet how many times have you heard couples, parents say, well, I just feel in my heart that we should do this or do that. Again, allow God through His Word to speak to you, to communicate to you as you strive to build a godly home. Because God says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. That is true when it comes to building a home. When it comes to building a godly home. We need to realize that. God warns us about being guided by our emotions, just doing what we think or doing what we feel in our heart. Listen to Solomon in Proverbs 28, verse number 26. He that trusteth in his own heart. I'm not saying this. God is saying this. He that trusteth in his own heart, God says, is a fool. Don't trust in your own heart. Remember, trust in God. And so the starting place for building a godly home is to recognize that God has the final say. And we find that authority, we find that guidance in the Word of God. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As we turn to these passages this morning, we're familiar with these passages. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, we read it all of the time. But what we have to learn to do is take what we read and apply it to different situations in our life. We're simply doing that this morning with many of the verses that we're looking at. We're taking these verses and we're applying them to the framework of the home. And when we do that, we will build godly homes. I want you to see how these verses right here that we know so well in the church can help us build a godly home. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse number 16, the Apostle Paul says, all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable. Now stop right there. As you look at verse 16, you're going to notice that Paul is going to list several things that the Word of God is profitable for. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, Paul says, okay? For correction and for instruction in righteousness. Now notice how these points develop as these things apply to the home. You see, doctrine is teaching. Teaching that we find in God's Word, and doctrine teaches us what we should be doing in the home. That's so important, isn't it? It's important to know what we should be doing in the home. Again, doctrine teaches us that. It teaches us what we should be doing. But then number two, Paul says for reproof. Reproof teaches us what we shouldn't be doing in the home. You see, there are some things that we should be doing, that we should be cultivating in our homes. And then there are some things that we shouldn't be doing, that we should guard against. And again, we turn to God's Word, our authority, because God's Word has the final say to learn what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. But Paul continues in verse 16. Again, God's Word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Number three, for correction. You see, God's Word teaches us how to make correction, yes, in our lives, but correction, we're talking about the home, in the home. You mean there are going to be things that I need to change in my home when I look at God's Word? That's exactly what I'm saying. You know why? Listen to me very carefully, because this applies to every home in here. No home is perfect. No home is perfect. I don't care who you are. You may not like that statement, but no home is perfect. Now notice this. In every home, there's room for improvement. You see, spiritually speaking, when I apply 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, I realize that God's Word teaches me what I should be doing individually as a Christian. But it also teaches me what I should be doing in my home and what I shouldn't be doing. And you know, with the very nature of God's Word, when we study it with a good and honest heart, you know what I find God through His Word doing? He's always correcting me. He's always teaching me because He's trying to help me along the way. Listen, God wants you to have a godly home. God wants your home to be filled with joy and peace and happiness, but we're going to have to listen to God. And we're going to have to learn to do God. We're going to have to learn to do things God's way and not our own way. And that means I'm going to have an open heart. I'm going to have a heart that receives correction. How many of you in here this morning like receiving correction? Oh, there's a part of us that we don't like to receive correction, do we? We don't like to be told, you know, you're not doing something right. You ought to be doing this or you ought to be doing that. But if we are honest and if we have that heart of humility, we're going to listen to me. We're going to look at God's Word and we're going to welcome that into our life. You know why? Because we know that God's ways are much better, they're much higher. God is the only one that knows what He's talking about. I know Dr. Phil thinks he knows what he's talking about, but he doesn't. But God does. God knows what He is talking about. He knows what He is saying. And we need to learn to listen to Him because He's there to help us. But I have to be willing to receive that correction. In Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 28, one of Israel's downfalls was they wouldn't receive correction. They didn't want to be told what they were doing wrong. If we're good and honest and if we strive to have this godly home that we're talking about this morning, we're going to welcome that correction. And then number 4 there in verse number 16, we see that the Word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Follow me through this thought. Again, God's Word, when it comes to the home, teaches us what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. It teaches us how to make correction. But don't you like this last point there in verse number 16? The Word of God teaches us how to stay on track so that our children will learn to encounter the Lord in our homes. You see, friends, that's what it's all about. The first place our children should learn about the Lord is in the home. And that's why it's so important to have a godly home so that our children will learn to encounter Christ in our home, your home. That's why it's so important to recognize, again, the starting place. And when we are tempted to fall back probably on what our parents taught us, whether right or wrong, or what some person in the world wrote in a book, we have to learn to trust in the Lord. Let me tell you why. It's not easy raising children. It's not easy trying to have that godly home, husband and wife working together, learning to walk together, allowing their marriage to bring honor and glory to God. It's not easy. There's always going to be issues and there's always going to be challenges. And when we face those issues, when we face those challenges, those obstacles, we should be thinking Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all of thy heart," listen to it, "and lean not on thy own understanding. In all of thy ways," when it comes to the home, "acknowledge Him." That's what we're emphasizing. The starting place is to recognize that God's Word is our final authority. I'm going to do things God's way. Like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will follow Jehovah's ways, because we know His ways are much better than our own ways. Number two, if I'm going to build a godly home, I have to learn, and it's something that we learn, I have to learn to be Christ-centered in everything that I do. Let me emphasize that again. In everything that I do. Now, I'm wanting to challenge your minds on this very subject. As I said, I prepared you to receive correction. And so all of us should be, Clay, bring it on, okay? Preach to us. What are some things that we need to do? Well, let me present this in a way that can really challenge our thinking. I've thought about this and I heard a brother use these points, and it really challenged my thinking. It really challenged my home. Notice this. We can either have a Christ-friendly home or a Christ-centered home. There's a difference between a Christ-friendly home and a Christ-centered home. Now, in your mind, I know you're thinking, well, having a Christ-friendly home is a good thing. But let me explain what I'm talking about. A Christ-friendly home welcomes Christ into that home part of the time. As long as Christ doesn't interfere with what's going on in our home. There are a lot of things that are going on in the world that can interfere with our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's true individually. That is also true in our homes. And so again, a Christ-friendly home invites Christ into the home part of the time. As long as Christ doesn't interfere. As long as Christ doesn't get away with what we've got going on in our life. But a Christ-centered home invites Christ into the home all of the time. Christ is a part of that home all of the time. That home listens to Christ, invites the counsel of Christ, the wisdom in Christ into their life, because Christ is their life. Let me show you this in Scripture in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Notice what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. And as I said, this is really a challenging thought, but we have to remember that God put this in here to help us to build godly homes. And if we're going to have godly homes, we got to challenge ourselves spiritually speaking. Remember, no home is perfect. And in every home, there's room for improvement. Well, here in Colossians chapter 3, as you read this with me, you're going to see where the point is coming from. It's coming from verses 1 through 4. And Paul is encouraging us to be spiritually focused. To have our hearts, our minds centered on the spiritual. Beginning at verse 1, Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, you seek those things which are above. You set your mind, you set your heart, not on things on the earth, but on things that are above. You learn to be spiritually minded. Then he says, listen to it, verse number 3, and it's key. For you are dead. What is he talking about, for you are dead? He's talking about your conversion. You see, when you obeyed Christ, you made Him king of your life. You put to death the old man of sin and you replaced it with Christ. Christ is Lord of our life. Christ is king of our life. You see, it's all about the king. As we go through life, as we make decisions, we ought to be thinking about the king. We ought to be thinking about Jesus Christ. And Paul says again, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. You see how that applies to the home? Verse number 3, do you think Paul is talking about a Christ-friendly home, or do you think he's talking about a Christ-centered home? He's talking about a Christ-centered home. Watch verse 4, because it's such a powerful verse that emphasizes the point that we're making. When Christ, here it is, underline it, who is our life? If our homes are Christ-centered, it's going to always be about Christ, because Christ is our life. And so if I want to have a godly home, I need to first recognize that God's Word has the final say. God's Word serves as that blueprint for building a godly home. Number two, I have to learn to be Christ-centered in all that I do. But number three, if I want to have a godly home, I must allow God to be the builder. Look, if you would, at Psalm 127. This isn't a very long psalm, but it's so rich. And it's all about the home. In Psalm 127, we really get a definition of the home. Beginning at verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." If you're not receiving God's guidance, if you're not allowing God to build your home, you remember the storms that we talked about that sometimes we encounter in the home? You know, Jesus uses that same terminology when He talks about the wise man who built his house upon the rock versus the man who built his house upon the sand. If we're not listening to God, we're building upon the sand. But when we allow God to build our houses, we're building them upon a solid foundation. You go back to Matthew chapter 7, you see that there are two builders. There are two builders. One is wise, one is unwise. But then we read about the storms of life that cross their path. The one who built their house upon the rock withstood the storms. The one who built his house upon the sand was destroyed because of the storms. You know, the principles are there even when it comes to the home. And that's why it's so important to allow God to be the builder. To allow God to build our houses. Because, listen, there's going to be storms. There's going to be things that are going to shake the house, if you please. And if we don't build our houses, our homes, upon the Word of God, if they're not built upon the rock that we find in the Scriptures, when those storms come, they're going to shake the house, and many houses, many homes are destroyed because of what we're talking about. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep, protect the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Again, the question is, are you allowing God to build the house? Are you allowing God to protect your house? And then you drop down to verse number 3, and it brings a smile to our face, doesn't it? Lo, children are a heritage, the psalmist says, of the Lord. Children are such a blessing from the Lord. Now think about this. The children are part of the home. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Our children, they don't belong to the state. Our children, they don't belong to the schools. Our children don't belong to society in general. You know, when you really get down to it, our children, they really don't even belong to us. They belong to the Lord. And if you look at what we see here in these verses, God has entrusted us with our children. We are simply stewards of what God has given us. And we learn in the book of 1 Corinthians that it is required that a man be faithful as a steward. And so we need to allow, number three, God to build our home. And we need to look at our children and we need to love them and we need to realize how precious they are, but ultimately they belong to the Lord. He's just putting them into my trust. And I need to be faithful. And I need to be a good steward of what God has given to me. That brings us to our fourth point. If we want to have a godly home, number four, we need to heighten our sense of responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can see where I'm at in life with my children, and I promise you, I don't have it all figured out. I promise you, there's a lot that I have to learn as a father. There's a lot that Carly has to learn as a mother. But we can turn to God's Word. And we can see what God's Word has to say. Because the instruction that He gives is the same for me as it is for you. And I promise you, it works. Let me give you several things to think about. What are some of the responsibilities that we see in Scripture that God has delegated to parents? Well, number one, parents have the duty to love their children, Titus 2, verse number 4. To love their children. And we learn in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, that we've been taught by God to love. Do you know where our children should first learn about the love of God? They should learn about the love of God in our homes. God has taught us to love. Our children should see the Father's love by the way that we love them, by the way we treat them, by the way we treat others. Oh, it's all about love. Number 2 from 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 14. Parents have the duty to provide for their children. And I know naturally when you hear the word provide, you're thinking in a physical sense. Yes, in a physical sense. You can also write down 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But also in a spiritual sense and in an emotional sense. Our children have physical needs. They have spiritual needs. They have emotional needs. My girls aren't here this morning, so I can say this. I'm struggling with that emotional aspect of their needs. There's a lot of things I just don't understand. They'll all start crying and I'll ask, "What's wrong?" "Nothing, Daddy." "Well, why are you crying?" "Something has to be wrong." And like most fathers, we want to fix it. I can't fix it. Carly tells me all the time, "You can't fix it." But God can help me understand the emotional aspect of my daughters. God can help you understand the emotional aspect of individuals. There's a physical aspect. There's also an emotional aspect. And do you realize that the Scriptures speak about that in the book of Philippians chapter 4? The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall protect, listen to the two things, your hearts and your minds. The mind is the cognitive aspect. This is where we take in information. But the heart has to do with the emotional side. And we're all emotional. Even men, whether they want to accept it or not, are emotional. And God can teach us how to deal and cope with those emotions. We have the responsibility to provide. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I won't take much more of your time this morning. I'll begin to wrap this up. But I do want you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This will be the last scripture that we'll look at this morning because time has gotten away from us. And I certainly want to respect your time. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is known in the Hebrew as the Shema of Israel. Hear, O Israel, as you'll notice, Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 4. The Lord is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy might. And then in verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And listen to verse number 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I love what we learn here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, because parents have the duty, along with Ephesians 6 verse 4 in the New Testament, to train, to teach our children. We have the responsibility to teach our children. And we have to be careful with this point. We don't want to isolate Christianity to a certain time of the day. Listen to what I'm saying. We don't want to isolate Christianity to a certain time of the day. For example, a lot of times we may have family devotionals and we have those devotionals maybe in the morning or in the evening. And that's the only time we will talk to our children about the Lord. Allow Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 7 to help you see the responsibility that God has put on us as parents to teach our children. We should be teaching our children all of the time. We should be teaching them every opportunity that we have. And you know what? A lot of times during the day, as we do our daily activities, a lot of times it's during those daily activities that we have great opportunities to teach and to train our children. And listen, the habits and the appetites that we instill in them as parents will either help them or hurt them. That's why, as parents, we've got to be thinking right. That's why we have to challenge ourselves. Lord, correct me. Lord, I'm going to be in Your Word. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better mother. Because I know this for sure when it comes to rearing children. You only have one shot to get it right. They grow up so fast, and before you know it, they're moving out of the house. Before you know it, they're making decisions, and rightfully so. That's part of growing up, and you want them to make good decisions. You want them to marry somebody that will help them go to the Lord, and all of these things are on your mind. Listen, we have to teach. We have to train. We have to discipline when they're young as we bring them up. And even then, you can do everything that is right and you still have no guarantee. Because those children that you taught, when they grow up and become adults, they've got to make their own choices. Read the parable of the prodigal son. Look at what the prodigal son did. He went and left his father's house, and not for a good reason. But the father realized there was a time that my son has to learn the lessons of this life. But I'm convinced that father was waiting for that son to come home every day. And he provided the kind of home, the kind of environment that when that son came to his spiritual senses like he did in Luke 15, the father received him back, didn't he? His father welcomed him back. What a beautiful picture of love. You know, if we want to have a godly home, we've got to learn to cultivate good habits. We've got to avoid bad habits. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. What those good habits are, what those bad habits are. You turn to God's Word and you'll find those good habits. Daily devotion, daily prayer, regular attendance when it comes to worship assembly. There are a lot of things that we should avoid that we read about in the Scriptures. Being overcritical, judgmental, being hard, being angry, anxiety. All of these things our children behold in our home. We want to provide them a good example. Parents have the duty to be a good example, to teach them, to show them the ways of the Lord. You know, as we think about the home, as we bring this lesson to a close, this congregation is made up of homes, isn't it? And do you realize the impact that each home can have on the congregation? You see, when we strive to build godly homes, naturally that'll flow into the congregation. We build godly homes, congregation will be more godly. When we are spiritual in our homes, the congregation will be more spiritual. Let's challenge ourselves this morning. Let's thank God this morning that He's given us His Word. Let's thank God this morning that we have an invitation. God invites us this morning, the Lord's invitation, to be a part of His home. I know we talked about the physical home this morning, but we want you to know that you can be a part of God's spiritual home. The blueprint that we talked about for the home can also be found for the spiritual home in God's Word. God's Word teaches us how to become a part of His family. We have to hear His Word. We have to believe His Word. We have to repent of our sins. We have to be willing to confess Christ. We have to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. But when we're baptized into Christ, the Lord will add us to His family. We can be a part of the family of God by our obedience to the gospel. It might be that you are a Christian. Maybe you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you're struggling in your home. Listen, you've got a wonderful spiritual family here this morning that loves you, that wants to help you and encourage you if you will simply learn to lean upon your spiritual family, to learn to lean upon your God who cares and loves you. Remember, when it comes to the home, no home is perfect. In every home, there's room for improvement, but we've got divine help. And I'm thankful for the help that we have from God. The lesson is yours. If you need to respond, won't you come right now as we stand and as we sing.